السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you today about what I call the four-step process, and that is the process of learning and teaching of this deen. It is very important because it's a process that has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a way by which we can measure our own understanding of deen, how we are approaching deen, how does it help us, is our method correct, is our application correct, and so on, for us in terms of understanding and learning the deen. And so also, of course, for those who teach Islam, it's a process that they can use to measure the efficacy and the potential of teaching of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned as a reason for sending his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتُلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a great favor and ni'mah on the believers when he sent among them a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst themselves, reciting unto them his ayat, the Quran, and purifying them from sins and instructing them in the book of Allah and wal hikmah, the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned, وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Verily, before that they had been in clear and manifest error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do four things. To recite to them the revelation as it was received. Communicate it as it was received. Then purify them. Then teach them the meaning of the revelation, what was received, and then to demonstrate them how to apply this in their lives. Four-step process. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that until the coming of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people had been misguided and in grave error. These four things are not independent things, but they are a four-step process for one thing. And that one thing is the way of communicating the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the learning and teaching of Islam, and the criterion for us to assess our own spiritual development. So what are these four things? Number one is to recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a good way. Number two, to purify the exterior and interior, the body and the qalb, the jism wa nafs. Number three is to teach and learn the meaning of the kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And four, to learn how to practice it in our lives. Inshallah, we will do this khutbah in two parts. First part today and next part next Friday. Because it's a detailed subject and I don't want to rush through it. Inshallah, we'll do the first two today, with his yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim, recitation of the Quran and the purification of the nafs and qalb. And then we will do the other two, inshallah, next Jum'ah, which is yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah, inshallah. The first step is the recitation of the Quran. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came as the spoken word. I want you to reflect on this. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came as the spoken word. Allah did not send the Quran as a piece of paper with writing on it. Jibreel alayhi salam recited the kalam of Allah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. He recited it to those around him. Islam entered the hearts of people by listening to the Quran. It entered the hearts of people who heard the Quran. What turned the heart of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was listening to the Quran, not reading it in a book. And this was the story of many of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, who listened to the Quran and their hearts opened to Islam. So the first step is to ask ourselves a very simple question. What happens to me when I hear the Quran? Very simple question to ask. What happens to me when I listen to the kalam of Allah? Does anything happen at all? And if something happens, what is it that happens? What is supposed to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his kalam in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, had we sent this Quran onto a mountain, you would surely have seen it humbling itself and rendering asunder by the fear of Allah. Such are the examples which we put forward to mankind so that they may reflect. What is supposed to happen when the Quran is sent on a mountain? What would happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if the Quran is sent on a mountain, what does it mean? Put the book on a rock? It means if the mountain understands it, if the mountain has this tahzar of the ilm of the Quran, what will happen to the mountain? It will bow in submission before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what must happen to our hearts when we listen to the Quran of, to the kalam of Allah? Let me do a simple experiment with you. And I want you to carry on this experiment when you go home. I will recite for you two ayat of the Quran. And I will tell you which ayat those are. And then I want you, when you go home, to read those two ayats. And see whether there is a difference between the time you were listening to the ayat and the time you were reading the ayat. Do the experiment for yourself and see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us what is supposed to happen to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that the mu'mineen, the criterion of the believers, the mu'mineen are those people who, when the Quran, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, their hearts shiver with the fear and majesty of Allah, with the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the kalam of Allah is recited before them, وَتُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا Their iman increases. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And they have tawakkul, and they have faith on their Rabb. The Quran is clearly mentioning the changes that must happen as a result of listening to the kalam of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Az-Zumar, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ الله نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثانية تخشير منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد الله سبحانه وتعالى said, is he whose breast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened, is he whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened to Islam, so that he is in the light from his Rabb, equal to the one who does not recognize his Rabb? Is the one whose heart and whose shara sadr has happened, whose chest has been opened to the dhikr of Allah, and is illuminated by the noor of Allah, is he the same as the one who is not a Muslim? Obviously he is not the same. They are not the same. La yastavi ashabun nari wa ashabul jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, so woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. They are in plain error. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has sent down the best statement. Asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah. The most truthful statement is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the best statement. A book, the Quran, its parts resembling each other in goodness and truth. Often repeated. The skins of those, see how the Quran mentions specifically changes that happen physically to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the skins of those who fear their Rabb shiver from it when they recite it or when they hear its recitation. Then their skin and their heart are softened to the remembrance of Allah. That is guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He guides there with whom He pleases. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends astray, for him there is no guide. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. For the body, the physical changes, emotional changes to happen as a result of the recitation of the Quran is a sign of the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, for all of you and for myself, inshallah. So we need to check our hearts to see what is the effect of listening to the Quran. And that's why I said, let us do an experiment. I will recite for you the last ayat of Suratul Hashr. And when you go home, I want you to do two things. I want you to read those last three ayat of Suratul Hashr in Arabic. And then I want you to read the translation of those last three ayat. And I want you to try to remember what you feel now. And try to compare it with what you feel when you read the Arabic. And when you read the Urdu or the English. Right? I want you to actually experience this whole issue of the spoken word. The whole issue of the kalam of Allah. The Quran is not the tahrir of Allah. It's not the writing of Allah. It is the speech of Allah. Why do you call the Quran kalamullah? Why don't you call the Quran tahrirullah? It's not tahrir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن مؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. I want you as far as possible to remember this, and when you go home, pick up the Quran, read this ayat and see is the effect the same. And then read the translation and see if the effect is the same. And subhanAllah, wallahi, more than likely you are going to feel the effect of the translation is more than the effect of the original. And you know why? Because you understand the translation and you do not understand the original. And that is the tragedy. Today the word of the translator has more value for us than the word of the Rabb. Any translation of the Quran is not the kalam of Allah. It is the kalam of the translator. It is the understanding of the translator. And that's why it does not have the same status as the kalam of Allah, obviously. My brothers and sisters, I seriously remind myself and you that we need to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the greatest tragedy that the ummah which received the kalam does not understand the kalam. It's a great tragedy. And it's an amazing thing that the people who did not receive the kalam, not everybody, but the scholars among them, they understand this kalam. But the heart is not open to the kalam. The sharasadar of those people is not there. So they understand the kalam, but it does not go into the heart. Strange situation. So let us understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and let us understand its meaning and respond to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And let us be aware of and thankful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to read His kalam. Let us reflect on how bleak and dark is the life for those who have no Quran. What would life be without listening to the Quran? in Taraweeh, in Qiyamul Layl, listening to the recitation of the various Qura in their beautiful voices, reciting the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yourself, what would life be without this? Make the sound of the Kalam of Allah a normal thing in your homes. The men sit and recite the Kalam of Allah in a good voice. Learn to recite it well and recite it in a good voice in your homes. Give your children memories. If your child thinks of you, let him think of you listening to your voice, reciting the Quran in his house. How many of you are here who have never heard your father reciting the Quran? What a tragedy! You're born in Muslim homes and you have never heard your father reciting the Quran. At least don't do that to your own children. Learn to recite the Quran. Let your children grow up hearing the voice of their parents reciting the Quran. Let that be the memory they take away with them. When I think of my father, when I think of my mother, I can hear their voice reciting the Kalam of Allah. Let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his Nabi to recite the Kalam of Allah as he received it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his Nabi a way of presenting Islam, let us remember that there is a reason for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, give them that Kalam in writing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, explain its meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recite the ayat. Recite the ayat as you receive them. There is a time and a place for recording it in the book. There is a time and a place for explaining the ayat, and we will come to that inshallah in next Jummah. But what is the first hukam? Recite the kalam as they were received. Explanation comes later, but first the recitation. Today it is customary even for many da'ya to simply quote translations. And when the time comes for them to recite, they recite badly because they never learned how to recite. Big tragedy. And that is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah did not give translations. He did not give explanations. He recited the ayat of the Quran. And people just listened to the ayat of the Quran and they said, this is not the kalam of a human being. This has to come from somewhere else. And that is how they came into Islam. If Rasulullah ﷺ had explained the ayat, they would have said, yes, good, we understand the explanation. This is what you understand and we understand from you. Where is Allah in that explanation? Even though it is explanation of the ayat of the Quran, nothing wrong in explaining. But where is the actual kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala? And that's why very important for us, learn tajweed does not take more than 2 weeks. Does not take more than 2 weeks. Learn tajweed of the Quran. Learn to recite the Quran well. It's not a matter of tune. You are not singing a song. You are not singing some raga. The understanding, the fahm of the Quran is the tune in the voice of the Qari. The tune in the voice of the Qari is the understanding of the Quran. And that is why you can say instantly when you are listening to a recitation. You can say instantly whether the Qari is reciting something he understands or whether he is simply parroting something he memorized. You can say it in 1 minute. Because you can understand from his tone whether he is understanding what he is saying or whether he is just parroting something that he memorized. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was praying. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was one of the Qurra of the Sahaba. He was one of the reciters among the Sahaba. He was praying and he was reciting the Quran. He sensed that there was someone standing behind him. When he made taslim, when he made salam, he turned around and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing behind him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he said, I love the way you recite the Quran. And Abu Musa said, Ya Rasulullah, if I had known you were standing behind me, I would have beautified my recitation even more. When Surah Al-Bayyinah was received, when that surah was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Ubay ibn al-Ka'ab. He went to Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu and he said, my Rabb has commanded me to recite this surah before you and for you to listen to the surah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ubay bin Ka'b, my Rabb has commanded me to recite this surah to you and for you to listen to this surah. Ubay bin Ka'b started weeping. He said, ya Rasulullah, my Rabb took my name. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, your Rabb mentioned you by name. Ajeeb, eh? What people these were. What people these were. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, another one of the qurra of the sahaba. And he said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, read some Quran for me, recite some Quran for me. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, he said, ya Rasulullah, you want me to recite the Quran to you when you receive this kalam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. He said, I like to listen to the kalam of Allah in the voice of other people. He said, recite the kalam. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu started reciting. And he came to this ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَا أُولَٰئِ شَهِيدًا. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah said, how will it be then when we bring from each nation a witness and we bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a witness against these people? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started weeping. He started crying, he started weeping, because he was thinking of the day of judgment when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be called to bear witness against those people. And may Allah forgive us. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, O Allah, these people put the book of Allah behind their backs. They put the book of Allah behind their backs. My brothers and sisters, the hardness of the heart is a fatal disease. It's a fatal disease. And the sign of the hardness of the heart is dry eyes. Eyes do not weep for the fear and majesty of Allah. I'm not talking about standing in front of an audience and crying, that is riya. May Allah protect us from that. I'm talking about standing alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tahajjud, reciting the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, and weeping for the glory and majesty of Allah, weeping with thankfulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the permission with this dirty tongue of ours to recite his kalam. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the understanding of the kalam. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave us this permission. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave us the understanding of the kalam. Understanding the kalam and responding and reacting to the kalam. These tears are a sign of the love of Allah. They are not a sign of weakness. They are a sign of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the fire of Jahannam haram on two kinds of eyes. He said, the eyes that weep for the fear and majesty of Allah. Alone when the abd is alone with his Rabb. And eyes that stay awake for the protection of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fire of Jahannam will be made haram on those eyes. Reflect on the Quran, connect with the Quran. Let least once in your lifetime cry for the glory of Allah. So that you come in that zumar of people who will be made free from the hellfire, inshallah. Do something about the hardness of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the whole mountain will crumble, but subhanAllah, we have mountains in our chest, nothing happens to them. Let us go to the second stage that I mentioned, which is وَيُزَكِّهِمْ. Tahara of the body and the nafs. تَسْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ وَتَرْبِيَةُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. We understand the tahara of the surroundings, the place should be clean. We understand the tahara of the body, we must be in a state of wudu. If ghusl is wajib, we must make ghusl. The clothes must be free of impurity and so on. But the other tahara, which is equally important and even more important, is the tahara of the qalb or the tahara of the nafs. Tazkiyah of the qalb and tazkiyah of the nafs. And the first and most important of impurities to be removed is shirk. This is the worst of impurities, and along with the other, kufr must be removed and the nafs cleansed of it. There are two aspects of shirk, the visible and the hidden. The visible is to join others in partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to join others in the worship of Allah or in the seeking of help from others other than Allah. This includes making sujood to graves, making dua to the dead, asking the dead for help. It includes the belief that somebody who is dead, no matter who that is, can come to your aid or can help you in any way or can affect your life in any way, like granting children, curing diseases and so on and so forth, bringing rain, increasing provision and so on. To ask the madad of anyone other than Allah is haram. Understand this very clearly. To ask the madad of anyone other than Allah is haram. I say to those of our Sunni brothers and sisters who think that saying Ya Ghaus Madad is jais. If Ya Ghaus Madad is jais, then Ya Ali Madad is even more jais. Because Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if Ya Ali Madad is jais, then the Christian saying Ya Isa Madad is even more jais. Because Isa alayhi salam is a Nabi of Allah. So Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani is not bigger than the Nabi of Allah. And Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani is not bigger than Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And Ali bin Abi Talib is not bigger than the Nabi of Allah Isa alayhi salam. Then let us all become Christian inshallah. Because that is the truth. If what you are saying is the truth, then what the Christian is saying is the ultimate truth. Have some shame. Make tawbah. On the day of judgment, Abdul Qadir Jilani will stand with a hunter in his hand and drive you into Jahannam. And behind him will be Ali bin Abi Talib with another sword in his hand. And he will drive you into Jahannam. And behind them will be Isa alayhi salam, who will drive his followers into Jahannam. Because they joined them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is open shirk. It is haram, haram, haram. Understand this very clearly. To ask the madad of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram, it is shirk. If you have been doing it because no one guided you, may Allah forgive you, make tawbah now. Stop doing it right now. If you are wearing taweez with some stuff written on it, break it and throw it in the garbage. We got a grey bin here and we got a red bin outside. Take your pick. If you have got red threads around your wrists, that is what the Hindus wear. Go to a temple. Or cut that thread. When will you learn this? When Malakul Maut comes and stands before you? That is when you want to hand over the thread to Malakul Maut? He will take the thread and you to a nice red place. Not red in color, red in heat. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Make tawbah now, stop committing shirk. The biggest shirk in the heart, the biggest filth in the heart, the biggest garbage in the heart is shirk. Remove it. The second big garbage in the heart is kufr. To deny the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to run your own nafs in that position. To deny the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to do what you wish is kufr. Understand this very clearly. Clean the heart from shirk and from kufr. If you want to stay in Islam and if you want to die on Iman, because if you cannot even do it today when you are nice and well, what will you do when you are dying in your last moments, when Iblis will be sitting at your head and exercising his entire power to take you into shirk or kufr? Today you are doing it without him even trying. What will you do when he actually tries? I ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of you and for me from this fitna. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us among those for whom it is written in Qadr that we will die with Iman inshaAllah. But make some effort. Make some effort. Just me standing here and saying is not sufficient. Make some effort. Remove all shirk and all kufr from your lives.
and do it now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Do it right now. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the hidden aspects of shirk is to think of somebody else when you need something before you think of Allah. Even though that thinking of someone else may be halal. I'm not talking about this shirk now. I'm talking about, for example, one of my shuyukh used to say, when you have a headache, what do you think first? Dua or dawa? When you have a headache, what do you think? What is the first thought that comes into the mind? I ask Allah to take away my pain, or I look for Tylenol or Crocin, whatever. You see what I'm saying? Now, is it haram to eat Tylenol? Is it haram to eat Crocin? No, of course not. By all means, go and eat medicine. The question is, when the Salik is moving closer to his Rabb, what does he do? Number one, he leaves haram. Number two, what does he do? He leaves all doubtful things. Number three, he leaves all makruhat. He does not say, is this makruh tanzihi or tahrimi? Is it small, big? No. He wants to get close to his Rabb. He wants to become among the awliya Allah. What does he do? He leaves haram. He leaves all mushtabihat. He leaves all the doubtful things. He leaves all makruhat. And then what does he do? He also leaves some of the halal. What is the dalil for this? What is the proof that to get close to Allah, you have to also leave halal? I will give you a proof from the book of Allah. Alhamdulillah, anything I tell you, inshallah, will be with dalil. Not my opinion. What is the proof in the Quran? That to get close to Allah, you have to also leave some halal. Anybody? Kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah said, fasting has been prescribed on you like it was prescribed on people before you, so that you may become people of taqwa. You may get close to Allah. What do you do in fasting? Do you leave haram or halal? Halal. Haram you left already. When you said la ilaha illallah, you left halal. You left haram. But in fasting, what do you leave? Halal. Eating of halal food, not jais, haram from the morning to the night. Yes? Drinking of water, drinking of zamzam. If somebody says, well, you know, I'm fasting, but this is zamzam. Is it jais? No. No. The Saudis actually remove even the pots and everything else from the... They don't leave you with any temptation at all in Ramadan. Being with your wife, being with your husband. Is it jais or not jais? Jais. When you do halal with the intention of pleasing Allah, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you reward for it or not? He gives reward. But what do you do during the month of Ramadan? What do you do any time that you are fasting? Ramadan or no Ramadan? You leave halal. And why do you leave halal? So that you get close to Allah. My brothers and sisters, remember this. A day will come. Even today that is the case. But on that day it will become clear to us. The only one that matters is Allah. I ask Allah to make it clear to us today. Because there's no point in this becoming clear to us when the breath is in the throat. No point in that will become clear. That becomes clear to everybody, believe me. The biggest kafir in the world will become absolutely clear to him when his breath is in his throat. The worst enemy of Allah will know that the only one who matters is Allah. And at that time, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. He will say, oh, I wish I was dust. No point in knowing that time. The point to know is now. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this inkishaf on us. To open this to us. That the only one who matters is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are doing anything to that displeases Allah, no matter who it pleases, that thing is trash and rubbish, and that thing will take us into the hellfire. Don't worry about popularity. Don't worry about popularity. Don't worry about which TV screen you are on. And don't worry about which conference you are at. None of that matters at all. Zero. Zero value. What matters is whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased or not. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about getting close to Him, about this issue of tazkiyah. Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Allah said, by no means will you be able to attain to al-birr, to the level of piety and righteousness that pleases Allah, unless you spend in the path of Allah that which you love. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That which you love. And whatever good you spend, Allah knows it well. The criterion here is not the amount spent, but the quality of what is spent. Spend what you love the most in the path of Allah in order to attain piety, in order to reach Him, in order to please Him. For some people, money is easy to spend, but they have no time to spend for Allah. For other people, they have time to spend for Allah, but they will not spend money for Allah. So for each of us, we have to see what is most beloved to us and spend that in the path of Allah. So it is our inner self that needs to be developed and made obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say, spend in the path of Allah that which is most expensive. Allah said, spend in the path of Allah that which you love the most. Some things we love may not have any intrinsic value as such. For example, we may like to sleep just before Fajr, and that may not have any intrinsic monetary value, but that we wake up in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are spending that lovely time which I like so much to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some other people, it may be something else. The bottom line is that it is up to us to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we love Him more than anyone and anything else. And we have to make the effort. It was not easy for those who came before us, and it is not easy for us. It will not be easy. But at the same time, the rewards they received and the rewards, inshallah, you and I will also receive. Tazkiyatun nafs is essential because there are things in the heart which, if they are not cleansed, will lead us to commit haram. Jealousy and envy lead to slander and backbiting. Jealousy or hasad is like holding a live coal, or holding a burning coal in your hand. It burns you, but it does nothing to the one about whom you are jealous. He does not even know you are jealous. How stupid to continue to hold a live coal in the hand and choose to be burned by it. Similarly, shahwat, sexual passion, leads to zina, adultery. Hatred leads to refuse to listen to the person who you dislike just because you dislike him. For how many of us this is true? Yeah? You won't listen to someone because I don't like his face. Now what is his face got to do with anything? If he's saying something good, listen to him. But no. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this quality specifically about the kuffar at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you don't listen to him only because you dislike him, not because you disagree with what he's saying. But what was the result of not listening to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The hellfire. Where did Abu Jahl go? The hellfire. Where did Abu Lahab go? The hellfire. Why did they not listen to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I just don't like you, so I will discard everything you say. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? But that is what hatred does to us. Hatred leads to stress and burns you up from inside, while the one you hate sleeps peacefully in his bed, not even aware that he is hated, or he doesn't even care whether you hate him or not. Anger, another one. Anger leads us to say things and use language which is haram. And then it puts us in a position where we become bigger sinners than the one we are angry with. In anger we say things, and later on we have to bear humiliation because there is a price to pay. All of these negative emotions are things that must be removed from the heart. Tazkiyatun nafs is to work on each one of them individually, one by one by one. Those who come to our tarbiyah class, this is what we ask them to do. Make a list and work on it one by one and mark your progress. How are you doing with respect to your anger? Who do you hate? Why do you hate that person? Remove it. Who are you jealous of? Why are you jealous of them? And so on and so on. And that's what we do in our Tarbiyah class. Greed is another big one. Greed leads to lack of shukr. People who are greedy, the azab of Allah begins right there. Because they are greedy, they are ungrateful for what they have. They have a nice house, but they are looking at somebody else's house, which is bigger. And if you ask them, how are you? Kya karna sa hai, itna ghar hai. To ab wo hai so ghar ki bhi maza khatam ho gaya. Allah ka azab wahi se nazil shuru ho gaya. Nashukri kar raha, nashukri kare to Allah ke joote to padte hi chipadte. Thoda urdu nahi bole to maza nahi aata. Walain shakartum lazidannakum walain kafartum inna azabi la shadid. My brothers and sisters, please understand, contentment of the heart is the biggest ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. How is the heat? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. How come the AC is not working too well? Alhamdulillah. The heat of Jahannam is bigger than this. Here we are sitting, and even though the AC is not working, maybe we are sweating a little bit, but what are we listening? To the kalam of Allah, to the dhikr of Allah, to the understanding of Islam. What more do we want? We can be sitting in a nice 3D cinema theater, very nice and cool, and looking at haram. Which one do you want? Seriously, think about that. Alhamdulillah, let nothing escape your tongue. Anyone asks you for anything, Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give my father Jannah. He was a doctor. In his last days, he was in hospital for a while. And the duty doctor will come and say, Dr. Beg, how are you feeling? My father said, Alhamdulillah. So the doctor said, yes, but then why are you here? Jokingly, he used to ask him, if you are fine, then you know, why are you in the hospital? Then he would tell him symptoms, but you know, Alhamdulillah, I am very happy, Alhamdulillah. Inculcate this in your children. Inculcate this in your children. Greed also leads to israf. Because for the greedy person, it is not enough to spend. He must spend so others he thinks will envy him. But of course, the ones who have sense, they say, what a fool. He just blew up all this money for what? Who remembers? Who cares? But he doesn't understand that. He thinks, oh, I am looking good before all these people. So israf, he spends money. Or he does other things. Greed also leads to bukhl. It leads to stinginess. The person will not spend in the path of Allah because he thinks he will lose. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you fear poverty, give sadaqah. Ajib. I mean, I think there are two different directions. Somehow the thinking of Islam, we are so far away from this. Subhanallah. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you fear poverty, give sadaqah. Let me translate it into language which you understand. What do you say to the kisan? What do you say to the farmer? If you feel hunger, plant the seed. Yes? Does that make sense to you? If you feel hunger, plant the seed. Put the grain which you can eat into the ground. Take the grain, don't eat it. Throw it in the mud. Why? I even pronounce the mud with a khalkhala. Subhanallah. Take the grain which you can eat. That seed, can he eat it or not? He can eat it. But what do you tell the farmer? No, don't eat it. Bear the hunger a little bit. Put it into the ground. Why? Because now you will eat for the whole year. Not one day or 2 days. When the crop comes, you eat for the whole year. You also feed your whole family. It's not just you eating one roti. Everybody will eat. But you have to understand the principles of agriculture to understand what that language means. And we have to understand the issue of tawakkul ala Allah to understand the kalam of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we have no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will you understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? When you fear poverty, give sadaqah. My brothers and sisters, I want to end with the last of the evils of tazkiyatun, evils that we have to guard against in terms of tazkiyah, and that is an evil that specially attacks the religious. The ones who have newly come into Islam, the ones who suddenly woke up to the fact that I'm a Muslim. And alhamdulillah, they made some effort, they did some learning, they learned some Quran, they went to this course and that course, or they went to this madrasa or that jamia, and they got qualified, and some of them got qualified, some of them just collected some stuff from wherever. And what is the evil that attacks them? What is it? Kibr. pride, arrogance. So now suddenly you look at your old friend and you say, you know what, he is a man of the hellfire. La hawla quwwata. Why? He goes to the disco. He says, excuse me, till last night where were you? In the same disco. Jiving away till the morning. Just now today, this morning you got some, you know, understanding of life and now you make him the man of Jahannam. Subhanallah, ajeeb. Looking down on others. Pointing fingers at others. Saying that so and so, he is this and that. Feeling that I am superior to somebody. Kibr, haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kibr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the hadith of Qudsi, kibr is the cloak of Allah. If anyone tries to take from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy him. Only Allah knows the darajat of the people with him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was speaking to the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. And he said to them, that a man will come one day to Medina from Yemen. And his name is Uwais. And he is from the tribe of Qarn. So his name is Uwais al-Qarni. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you find this man, if you find this man, ask him to make dua for your forgiveness. Who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this to? He's saying this to his sahaba. Who was with him at the time? Was Abu Bakr and Umar and others. Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. The akabirin of the sahaba. Ba'd al-anbiya'i bit tahqiq. Abu Bakr as-siddiq is with him at the time. And what is the Prophet saying? If you meet this man called Uwais from Qarn in Yemen, ask him to make dua for your forgiveness. Rasulullah passed away. Abu Bakr Siddiq's time, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu also passed away. The reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu as Amirul Mumineen. Umar ibn al-Khattab remembered this hadith. He used to always keep a lookout. And one day a caravan came from Yemen and a man came into the masjid to pray. And Umar ibn al-Khattab noticed him and he realized there is something different about this man. So he went to him and said, are you from Yemen? He said, yes. He said, are you from Qarn? He said, yes. He said, is your name Uwais? The man said, why are you asking me all these questions? He said, you first answer my question. Is your name Uwais? He said, yes. He said, is it true that you had leukoderma, the skin problem called leukoderma, white skin, and you made dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured you except for a small patch the size of a coin on your body. Is this true? And this was told to them by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the identification for Uwais al-Qarni. So Umar ibn al-Khattab says, is this true? The man says, yes, but why are you asking me all these questions, Ya Amirul Mumineen? Umar ibn al-Khattab says, just to ensure that you are the person that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about. He said, now I have a request for you. He said, what is your request? He said, my request is, please make dua for Allah to forgive me. Umar ibn al-Khattab is saying to Uwais al-Qarni, make dua to Allah that Allah should forgive me. Uwais al-Qarni said, Ya Amirul Mumineen, you are my superior in the dunya and you are my superior in the deen. You are a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the Amir of the Mu'mineen. I am ma'mur to you. I am your subject. You are the Amir and you are the sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also among the sahaba, you are al-Faruq. This is your position. You want me to make dua for you? For your forgiveness? Umar ibn al-Khattab said, yes. I want you. I am requesting you. I am not giving you a command as the Amir. I am requesting you. Make dua for me that Allah must forgive me. And I am saying this to you because Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to ask you to make dua for us. Hey? This does not mean that the position of Uwais al-Qarni, who was a tabi'i, is higher than the position of Umar ibn al-Khattab. No. It just shows that Allah loves some people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of such people. No, don't look down on anyone because you don't know who they are. You do not know who they are. Umar ibn al-Khattab knew Uwais al-Qarni because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him. Otherwise, how would he have known? Who would have known who is Uwais and why and so on and so forth? And there is a whole story and we don't have time to go into that now. But later on, inshallah, as and when time permits, we'll talk about that. But remember this. Never, never, never look down on anybody. Always thank Allah. If you came to Islam, if Islam entered your heart, put your head in sajda and stay there and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my heart to Islam. Make dua for others. Never look down on anybody. Never point a finger at anybody. Never speak with disdain about anybody. If you really care for that person, go and talk to that person directly and tell him, my brother, my sister, don't do what you are doing. Come to Islam. Correct your life, straighten your life, but don't speak behind their backs, don't fall into ghibah, don't fall into kibr, don't do slandering of people, don't do that, because otherwise a day will come when you will regret it like you never regret anything in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Inshallah, next Jummah we look at two other things, which is yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah, and then we'll complete this four-step process of learning and teaching of Islam. We talked today about the tilawat of the Quran and the effect that must have on our hearts, and we talked about what to do to the heart so that this effect will happen. Unless you clean and clear the heart of all garbage, the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not stay in it. It's like planting the best seed, but before you plant the best seed, you have to prepare the soil. If you take the best seed in the world and put it on a rock, it does not germinate. Even if it germinates, it will die. You have to clean the soil, remove the rocks and stones and thorns, and make the soil pliable and suitable for planting of the seed. And that is what tazkiyatun nafs is, to clean and make the heart capable of taking the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we plant the seed, which is yu'allimuhum al-kitab, and the practice of that, which is al-hikmah, inshallah, next Jummah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.